The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 2nd through Sunday, March 8th, 2026. The commentary for March was written by Mike Angle, who serves as the rector of St. Michael and All Angels in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Previously, he served in St. Louis and on the staff of the presiding bishop for young adults and college students. He is a writer, husband, dad, and advocate with a passion for justice and finding God in unexpected places. The commentary for Monday, March 2nd, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, chapter 41, verse 49. So Joseph stored up grain in such abundance, like the sand of the sea, that he stopped measuring it. It was beyond measure. Here's the commentary. Abundance is often thought to be a blessing, but the late theologian Walter Brueggemann points to the story of Joseph storing up grain for Pharaoh as a turning point in the Bible. The story in Genesis is the first time in the Bible someone says, "There's not enough," and shuts up the abundance in a barn. Yes, Joseph and Pharaoh's actions ultimately save Joseph's brothers and father, but it comes at a cost. Lent is a time when many of us give up a particular food, but how connected are we to the hunger of our neighbors? How can our fast from abundance make a difference for someone else's need? As St. Basil of Caesarea famously said, "The bread you store up belongs to the hungry." And now I'm going to read this full passage from Genesis, chapter 41, verses 46 through 57. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plenteous years, the earth produced abundantly. He gathered up all the food of the 7 years when there was plenty in the land of Egypt and stored up food in the cities. He stored up in every city the food from the fields around it. So Joseph stored up grain in such abundance, like the sand of the sea, that he stopped measuring it. It was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, Joseph had 2 sons, whom Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, "God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house." The second he named Ephraim, "for God has made me fruitful in the land of my misfortunes." The 7 years of plenty that prevailed in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in every country, but throughout the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do." And since the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the world came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine became severe throughout the world. And the moving forward statement for this Monday, March 2nd, is consider the ways your Lenten discipline could invite you to an economic practice of caring for your neighbor. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, March 3rd, the day on which we commemorate John and Charles Wesley. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 33. Who are my mother and my brothers? It is common today to talk about chosen family. Some of us may no longer speak with a member or members of the family of our birth. Instead, we celebrate holidays, significant life events, and the day-to-day with friends, chosen family who share our values. Today's lesson, at first blush, might seem a simple endorsement of that arrangement. But like much with Jesus, more is going on beneath the surface. Mary and Jesus' siblings are left outside the home where Jesus is teaching, and Jesus seems not to acknowledge them. But notice what Jesus says. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. We know from the rest of the Gospels that Jesus' mother was present when Jesus was crucified. James, called the brother of Jesus, led the early church in Jerusalem. Jesus was blessed with family who believed in his message and supported his work. They also apparently forgave him for preaching about them and saying, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Jesus' disciples were his chosen family, and his disciples included his mother and his siblings. And now I'm going to read from the full Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 19b through 35. Then he went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.'" Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." And the moving forward statement for this Tuesday, March 3rd, is pray for the family members with whom you grew up. Give thanks for the chosen family who have accompanied you. The commentary for Wednesday, March 4th, begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2a. "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world?" When you read Paul's letters, a picture sometimes arises of the saint that is, shall we say, judgy. Paul is frustrated with sexual immoral people, revilers, drunkards, the greedy, and anyone pursuing a lawsuit. I wonder if Paul had particular people in Corinth in mind when he wrote these diatribes, or if he was just generally grumpy about the city and the believers living there. If we push a little deeper, we see that this section of his letter is related to Paul's hopes for the Christian community. Paul expects the members of the church to bear with one another and to resolve their disputes within the church. That work is hard. I wonder how many parishioners have changed churches rather than work to resolve a conflict. Real relationship develops not when conflicts are avoided, but when we can ask for forgiveness. Spiritual growth comes when we can admit our vulnerabilities and mistakes. Paul hopes that Jesus' followers might take the sometimes more difficult road to face one another. That is the road that leads to deeper relationship and deeper discipleship. And now I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, through chapter 6, verse 8. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral persons, not at all meaning the immoral of this world or the greedy and robbers or idolaters, since you would then need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother or sister, who is sexually immoral or greedy, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or robber. Do not even eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging those outside? Is it not those who are inside that you are to judge? God will judge those outside. Drive out the wicked person from among you. When any of you has a grievance against another, do you dare to take it to court before the unrighteous instead of taking it before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels, to say nothing of ordinary matters? If you have ordinary cases, then do you appoint as judges those who have no standing in the church? I say this is to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to decide between one believer and another? But a believer goes to court against a believer, and before unbelievers at that. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, March 4th, is where can you safely face a conflict rather than avoid it? And how might the Spirit be inviting you to grow? The commentary for Thursday, March 5th, begins with a passage from Psalm 71, verse 1. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. Taking refuge is a theme that recurs in Scripture. A quick review shows at least a dozen mentions in the Psalms. This repetition is no accident. Taking refuge asks us to treat our faith not as a simple set of intellectual propositions or stories from long ago. This image of sheltering with God is not a passive experience, but an act that invites us to consider our faith in the most vulnerable moments of our lives. How is God actively protecting us, even now? How is our faith alive, active, and part of our strategy for survival in the midst of these days? And now I'm going to read from Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me, and those who watch for my life consult together. They say, pursue and seize that person whom God has forsaken, for there is no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. And the moving forward suggestion for this Thursday is you can share this idea of refuge with others. Each year, Forward Movement donates tens of thousands of resources, including Forward Day by Day, to hospitals, nursing homes, military units, and prisons. You can support this ministry by going online to forwardmovement.org. The commentary for Friday, March 6th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 39a. Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Jesus is speaking to the wind when he says, "Peace, be still," but we might imagine that these words could also be directed to the disciples who have whipped themselves into a frenzy. Sometimes our inner storms are as violent or more violent than the circumstances outside. We ride the wave of emotions, and at our worst moments, the emotional waves rides us. There is even a new word out there for our capacity to create storms within us, catastrophize. We can make a situation seem worse than it might be. Faith invites us to put situations in perspective and to trust that God will be with us in every storm. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, with the waves beating into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And the moving forward question for this Friday is, how do you say, "Peace, be still," to your inner storm? The commentary for Saturday, March 7th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus refused and said to them, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." There is a theme in the stories of Jesus' healing. Often, as with the demoniac of the Gerasenes, Jesus restores person not only to health, but also to community. Jesus tells the man, "Go home to your friends." This perhaps is as much a miracle as the physical healing, that the people who sought to bind him now receive him as a friend. When I was 19, I faced a difficult loss of a job. The loss was hard, and the grief was consuming. I wanted to be alone. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I felt shame, and in a sense, I didn't know who I was without the job. But family and friends pushed their way into my grief. One by one, two by two, they took me out for meals. Some prayed with me and held my hand. Others sat with me over coffee and reminded me that I still mattered to them. My community brought me real healing. And now I'm going to read the full passage from this Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any more, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused him and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, what is a loss or a hurt that you are keeping from your community? How could sharing help bring about healing? And as we near the end of the program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, March 8th, the third Sunday in Lent. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 7. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Water where I live is scarce. When it does come, water can also be fast and deadly. There is a deep ditch a few hundred yards from our house in Albuquerque. For many months in the winter, it is bone dry with the mud cracked in a lattice. The monsoon rains arrive in summer. If a storm empties itself of rain north of us within an hour, the ditch can become a raging torrent of fast-moving deep water, rushing through culverts and over dry ground. People die in the ditches almost every time it rains. The Navajo in this land describe rain as either masculine or feminine, depending on how it arrives. The masculine rain comes violently. The auroras help wash all that water away. Feminine rain is gentle. The total water that arrives may be less, but this rain prepares the ground for planting. It softens. This is the sort of rain that people long for in the desert. Not the loud, quarreling waters, but the soft rain that can soak into the ground. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying this to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water again." And the moving forward question for this Sunday is, where in your life could just enough be better than too much? Where could softness help you deepen relationships? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you're hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. So long until next time.